One issue here in WA that's greatly affecting the ongoing issue of climate change or catastrophic climate change, and perhaps our government's inability to take action on that, is the ongoing expansion of our gas industry. Indeed, the McGowan government is very much pushing for a gas-led recovery to the COVID-19 pandemic. As a part of that, there is a proposed expansion of the Burrup Gas Hub. And one of the major projects as a part of that is Woodside and BHP's massive Scarborough LNG project that's been in somewhat legal limbo for a while, but is unfortunately getting ongoing support from our state government here. The Conservation Council of Western Australia have launched a new campaign to at least try and get a proper independent environmental assessment of the Scarborough project. And a little earlier today, I spoke to the director of CCWA, Piers Versteegen, and I started by asking Piers exactly what the Scarborough gas project was and why it was of such grave concern for Conservation Council of Western Australia.
Yeah, so the Scarborough project is part of Woodside's Burrup Hub expansion, which is a massive LNG expansion on the Pilbara coast, on the Burrup there. It involves bringing on two very large offshore gas fields, including the Scarborough field and the Browse Basin field, which is much further north off the Kimberley coast. And also onshore gas from projects like the Waitsia project, which has been approved in the Midwest. And that gas would be processed through expanded facilities on the Burrup Peninsula for export as LNG. And that would enable those facilities to continue operating till well beyond 2050. So we're talking about very large expansions in West Australia's fossil fuel production. Australia has already overtaken Qatar recently as the world's largest gas exporter in the form of LNG, which is an extremely pollution-intensive way of getting gas to the market. And these projects would further extend that. But what we're particularly concerned about is the carbon footprint and the impacts on Aboriginal heritage that would occur as a result of this gas processing. And also there's really significant impacts on our marine environment because they need to do seismic testing, drilling to get the gas out of these subsea deposits, lay new pipelines, and really do a lot of dredging and dumping of dredge spoil and really considerable impacts on the marine environment. So what we're concerned about right now is that BHP and Woodside are pressing ahead for final investment decision on the Scarborough part of this project. That's $16 billion just by itself. And remarkably, the carbon footprint, the environmental impact of the greenhouse gas emissions, and also the impact on the Murujuga rock art, which is proposed for World Heritage listing, hasn't actually been assessed by the EPA. There's been no environmental assessment of these impacts. And late last year, we commenced legal proceedings in the Supreme Court of Western Australia to challenge those environmental approvals that have been given, because the state environmental legislation requires that environmental impact assessment does occur. And that court process is still ongoing. It probably won't be resolved for many, many months because Woodside are dragging that out. But in the meantime, it looks like the state government, and in particular the Environment Minister, the Honourable Amber Jade Sanderson, are getting ready to make further approval decisions to allow the Scarborough project to proceed, despite the fact that it hasn't had environmental assessment and despite the fact that there's still this legal challenge hanging over the project.
Certainly. Now, this comes as the International Energy Agency found that a narrow and extremely challenging pathway to net zero greenhouse gas emissions by 2050 is ahead. For this attempt to reach net zero greenhouse emissions would mean that economies such as Australia would have to have zero emissions electricity grid by 2035. So it comes as, you know, there's mounting pressure on governments around the world to really cut oil, gas and coal. Of course, as you're mentioning here, the West Australian state government are really pushing for this gas-led recovery in the wake of the COVID-19 pandemic. But I guess, as you know, for people like ourselves, there's just increasing evidence to suggest that we need to be cutting fossil fuels. And yet it seems both at a federal and a state level, despite any hyperbole, both major parties are still pushing ahead with fossil fuel expansion, particularly gas here in WA. Why is it, do you think, that both our state government and our federal governments are just ignoring reports such as this International Energy Agency report and others telling them to cut fossil fuel expansion and instead are doing the very opposite?
Well, we know from our long history that both our state governments and our Commonwealth government are essentially captured by the fossil fuel industry, whether it's the gas industry now or the coal industry in the past. You know, these industries are very good at influencing government through their political donations and other campaigns and other things that they do. And so we've got a situation where our governments really aren't acting in the best interests of Australians or Western Australians. Instead, they're acting in the commercial interests of these companies. But what's happening here with the Scarborough development is, you know, this is really a last-ditch attempt to further expand fossil fuel extraction here in Western Australia. You've pointed out that, you know, there's a global shift occurring, and that shift is accelerating. Most of our trading partners now have committed to net zero by 2050. None of them have mentioned a huge role for LNG in that or an expanding role for LNG. So Woodside's really betting their house, essentially, which is the entire value of the company, on an expanding LNG market, which would enable these projects to be profitable. And it's very doubtful that that's actually going to occur. So the economics of these projects are becoming increasingly marginal, but they're desperate to get them off the ground just now before it becomes so clear that they just won't be able to go ahead. The Scarborough project by itself, it's been a bit difficult to estimate because of the fact that it hasn't gone through environmental impact assessment, but we've run our own numbers on this and had them checked by various experts. That Scarborough project by itself would release 1.6 billion tonnes of carbon pollution. It's really astonishing, actually. That is more than the Adani coal mine, and it's equivalent to about 15 coal-fired power stations running every year. Most of that emissions comes from the combustion of gas when it's sent overseas, but a really substantial amount also happens here in Western Australia, and it would continue to push up our greenhouse emissions in our state. When we actually need to be getting them to come down. And under this government, this state government, this is really the opportunity that we have to stabilise the growth in Western Australia's emissions and to start getting those cuts and to start getting us trending down. And there's a huge positive story about the opportunities that doing that would create for jobs and investment in a whole lot of clean industries that can actually take over from fossil fuels in terms of providing jobs and economic development. So there is a really positive story, but this is the last-ditch attempt by Woodside. Woodside as a company have failed to really look into alternatives other than fossil fuels and gas production. So it's sort of a bit of a do-or-die situation for Woodside, which is a very risky situation for their shareholders and investors. But that's what the company is planning to go ahead with at this point.
And just finally, Piers, I mean, here in Western Australia, there is very little political opposition given the huge mandate that the McGowan government was delivered at the last election. I imagine, of course, CCWA will be trying to put pressure on Labor members and ministers in order to try and, I guess, turn the tide in regard to the huge support that this government is giving to gas expansion. However, I imagine there are other points, I guess, of pressure that can be applied both within the corporate sector and in the public sector itself. What can people do and where will this campaign be applying that sort of political and sort of social pressure in terms of ensuring that this project doesn't go ahead?
Well, firstly, part of the McGowan government's mandate is to do the right thing in the public interest and in the interest of our long-term future. rather than act in the interests of big corporations. And that is something that the state government has the power to do. They have control of both houses of parliament. They're in an incredibly powerful position, and they can use that power to do the right thing and actually start to get our greenhouse gas emissions down. That is what the Labor Party is committed to in their policy platform. And that is what we expect the new Minister for Climate Change to be doing in her role. So it's really reckless, actually, that the government would even consider giving further approvals to a project like this with more emissions than the Adani coal mine and, of course, really significant impact on Aboriginal heritage without any environmental impact assessment. So we're saying that they need to slow down. They need to, at the very minimum, not make any further approval decisions until these projects are subject to full, proper environmental impact assessment. We believe if that is done, it will show that the projects are unacceptable and shouldn't proceed. And just in the last few weeks, there's been thousands of people that have been calling the minister's office. They've been absolutely inundated with phone calls. People have been sending emails and sending messages to the minister and to their local members. People can go onto the Conservation Council's social media, the Facebook and Twitter, and link onto those actions. They can call the minister's office. So that's really important that we do that and that we express deep concern about these issues. Many scientists and other organisations are doing the same. But really, ultimately, I think this is going to come down to decisions by shareholders and investors. And that's why, you know, we're focusing a lot of effort now on engaging with the potential investors for these sorts of projects to demonstrate the risks that these projects would have. And it's not just Woodside, it's also BHP. And people need to be aware that, you know, BHP is a company that promotes itself as a responsible company that's taking action on climate change. But at the same time, it's supporting and investing these projects that have, you know, greater pollution than the Adani coal mine with no environmental impact assessment and a catastrophic impact on the global climate and just completely unaligned with the Paris Agreement, undermining international action. That is what BHP and Woodside are doing now. So the community needs to be aware of that, and we need to bring that pressure onto these companies directly and their investors and shareholders as well.
That was Piers Versteegen, who is the Director of the Conservation Council of Western Australia.